Good. So now we are actually ready. At this point, anything that we tape will actually be recorded. And then what happens is it's heard on Sunday morning and some places Saturday night. And then it goes on the app for BizTalk Radio. And then also on Wednesday, it gets archived on our website. So we'll send you all the links and all that kind of thing. All right? So we are ready to go, Stu. Now we just have to be quiet, and then the musical common, you'll hear. It'll be about 10, 20 seconds of nothing. But go ahead, Stu.
In the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
Well, hello, 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 and this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And we're going to get to some truth today because we have a very special guest. And if you know of the Oxford Club, you're going to hear a lot more about it in a moment. And you will certainly know of Steve McDonald. He is a contributing editor of Wealthy Retirement and The Income Letter. Now, if those sound like things you'd like to read, you're right. It is written especially for the kind of listeners that we have. But I also know that you guys get inundated with solicitations for newsletters, financial newsletters, health newsletters. Today we're going to concentrate on the financial side. What is really in these letters? Who prepares them? Is it something that you can use for your wealthy retirement? How is the best way to use it? And how do editors actually go about giving you the information that they offer? So it kind of demystifies this whole world that might be filling up your mailbox or filling up your email and give you some guidance on this. And no one's better than Steve McDonald. He's been himself a broker for at least a decade. He is the editor. Contributing editor. He's the creator of something. We're going to find out what that is, Slap in the Face Award, and a lot more. Thank you, Steve, for being with us today.
Thank you, Adrienne. It's my pleasure.
And I'd like to just dive in with some of the things and unpack some of the things that I'm interested in knowing about. Many, many years ago, I had a newsletter, and it was before the days of robo-investing, and I picked things very differently than I think is done today. So let me throw this to you. Who is reading your newsletter? What type? What is the financial behavior mindset of the folks that you write for?
Well, the Oxford Club, I think, is almost entirely people over the age of 55, probably closer to 60. Based on those people who attend our conferences and the emails that I get from my readers, I would say just about everybody has reached that point in their life where they've got to get serious. About retirement, about their money, and they want to get out of the stock of the month club. They want to get out of the, you know, the high pressure packaged product selling that Wall Street seems to be so good at, and they want to, you know, communicate with people who have no other interest but to make money. And you know, we accept no advertising of any kind. No one is allowed to edit anything from my content. If I put it out there, it's exactly as I want it to be. So unlike the brokerage business, which is one of the biggest reasons I left the brokerage business, you know, I'm not called in on the carpet saying, you know, you're supposed to be selling this, Steve, and you're not.
Right.
We'd like to know why, that sort of thing.
So the first thing we're seeing here is that newsletters, the best of them, can give an independent voice. But the second thing you mentioned was the Oxford Club itself. Now, there's a reason that it's called a club. The people at the Oxford Club do have, and I'm not saying this in the wrong way, money is almost a hobby for them. They really do care. And one of the folks that I worked with once said, and you know him, Michael Chekin, money goes where it's treated the best. And these are people who are paying attention. So you just had a terrific conference. So it's not just the newsletter. Tell us a bit more about the Oxford Club as a club and the events that go on there.
Yeah, the Oxford Club is truly a group of like-minded people, and that I never really understood that, I think, until I got a little older. I've been with them 15 years, and I'm 65 this year, and I think I might have been a little young to be in the information side when I was 50, when I first came on board.
But you're a baby now to most of us. You're a baby now to me, so that's okay.
Well, thank you. I'll come on this show all the time. It's really like-minded people, and it isn't just investment information. For example, you mentioned my two-minute retirement solution. I really don't go into investments there, but that is a lifestyle weekly column that I do, where I talk about everything from drugs to, in fact, I'm working on one right now about alcohol consumption in the retired community. We talk about estate planning, but we don't sell estate planning. We talk about the importance of some of the trip wires, things like that. You know, but we also have trips. We have trips all over the world for our people. And that is the best part of my job. In fact, I'm going to pick up one of our cruises on the Isle of Ibiza. We cruise up and down the coast of France and Spain. That's in May. In November and December, I'm going to be in Austria with our members, hosting a 10-day Christmas markets tour. So, you know, there's so much more involved in the Oxford Club than just the newsletters. There's a members exchange, for example. If you have a home or something you want to sell, or an antique car or a coin collection, we have a whole separate publication where members, free of charge, our lifetime members, can list whatever they have for sale to our other members. And you know, it's just an amazing worldwide network. We have readers from everywhere that you can imagine. And it's really a crusade. It isn't just a newsletter. It is a crusade. Julia Guth, who runs she's the executive director, you know, always has her thumb on us. You know, this will be high quality. This will be accurate. You know, we are not just selling newsletters here. You know, we're managing money for grandmothers and grandfathers here.
And I'll throw in one thing. I've had a relationship of being one of the speakers for many, many decades at the Oxford Club. It is fun, fine people. And I will say that the other aspect to it with Julia, just because you mentioned her name, is that there's charitable aspects to this. She herself has identified schools in Nicaragua, other areas. So if people are saying, gee, I really want to do some good in the world with my money too, not only can they talk to each other about that and share what they've found to be excellent charities, but through the Oxford Club itself, they've got some vehicle for this. So when I say that the folks have money as a hobby, not always money for themselves, it's that they know the power of this. So now let's go back to the newsletters. Now, there are many, many newsletters to the Oxford Club, but I specifically asked Steve, as contributing editor of the Income Letter and Wealthy Retirement, to be with us because of the issue of income as you get older. So you have a hard job, and that is, you know, anybody can make a stock a sexy story, but income already is you fall asleep. So how do you do your research? No, it's true. Is that true or not? Yeah,
well,
companies.
No, you know,
the other one is
on Wall Street. On Wall Street, the saying goes, the stock guys wear Gucci's, we wear Rockports.
Right. Well, exactly. But you know what? At a certain age, you want the Rockport guy. So how do you operate?
You sure do.
How do you make those? Yeah, you do. So how do you make those decisions for your newsletter? You say you're independent, so it's really all you. What's your thought process?
Well, it's actually a consortium. It's not just my thought process. Years ago, I built what I call the weasel wire when I was working as a broker. Because it only takes about 6 to 12 months as a baby broker to realize that the brokerage business is not there to benefit the clients. I mean, I'm talking about.
What a surprise. Everybody's shocked now. Don't be shocked.
Yeah, everybody's shocked by that. But you know, you had better be good at what you do, and that means you have to be able to spot the gold in all the garbage. And so I built this weasel wire. It's a collection of guys that have been in the business 25, 30, some cases 35 years. They have nothing to gain. You know, I don't pay them a dime. But we get on the phone a couple times a week. We talk about what's going on out there. We share ideas. And my idea is, you know, as I said, we manage money for grandmothers and grandfathers. That's what we do. Those are our people. And as I say to all the folks who work with us, the younger folks who don't get to travel, who don't get to communicate with the members, I say, you know, would you sell that to your grandmother? That's the question, the first question that comes up into my mind. And, you know, I kill myself trying to get my readers in my bond, especially in my Oxford Bond Advantage, where I recommend corporate bonds. You know, I've developed an entire training course for them that comes with the membership. I hammer home. I constantly hammer on them. And I make no apologies for repeating myself. Diversify over quality, you know, the rating of the bond. You have to diversify over industry. You have to diversify over maturity. You have to keep your bond's maturity short. You cannot, you know, go out there shopping just for yield. You're going to get your head handed to you. It's only a matter of time before these rates really reverse and start to move up. You know, so everything is about safety. Everything is about preservation of capital, but making enough money on your money to pay your bills. And I think one of the overriding concerns is that you never ever go outside your risk envelope. You know, we have
so
an entire.
What we're going to do now? Yeah. Mrs. Steve, we're going to stop there because it's going to take a little bit of a break so we pay our bills without commercials. But when we come back,
okay.
Two magic things. Yeah, it's true. We got to pay. Two magic things. One is how to determine your own risk tolerance, what you mean by that. And the other is you said the magic word that interest rates might go up, so you want to stay short term. And, you know, with the stock market, everybody's very focused. Are we in a bubble? Is it going up and down? But they're not looking at something that might bite them even more, and that is you're in long-term bonds or mutual fund bonds, mutual or ETFs, and rates go up. So these are important things for you guys. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Steve McDonald, and we'll let you know how to find the Action Club and his wonderful work.
For my age, da-da-da-da.
Okay, now they put the commercials in. So you see how it works? Very easy, right?
Sure.
Okay, we can go, in the interest of your time, we can go right on as soon as Stuart can rekey it. We're going to go right on. And first thing I'm going to ask you, so you know, is where they find your letter and the Oxford Club. So just be ready with whatever websites you want to give, okay, or any other contact information. Okay, we're ready. Yep.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello once again. This is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And one of the things, that one of the reasons I think we've been on for 5 years, is that we bring you information that nobody else does, whether it's about health, whether it's about travel, whether it's about entertainment, even, you know, your relationships. Pretty soon we'll be focusing on grandparents because I'm going to become one next week.
Oh, my goodness. Congratulations.
Yeah. Isn't that great? And I will tell everybody that I write for a newsletter, nothing to do with money, but it's called Bottom Line Personal, and my blog is called Aging for Beginners, Steve. Aging for Beginners. And you can take a look at that at Bottom Line Personal. And the next three articles are the Grandma Chronicles. So you can imagine what that's going to be about. But today we have with us Steve McDonald, who's a premier newsletter editor, contributing editor to Income Letter and Wealthy Retirement. He writes the 2-Minute Retirement Solution, which is not about money, but about lifestyle as well. But really, he's known for picking the right corporate bonds, other income vehicles. People want to know how to find the Astro Club and how to know where to find your work. So let's start off by telling them that, Steve.
Well, the Oxford Club is at oxfordclub.com. Oxford like the university, but not associated with the university. And on that website, you will find the Income Letter, Wealthy Retirement, and my Oxford Bond Advantage, which is the corporate bond portfolio that I manage. So they're all located in one spot.
So now one of the things, I'm going to use that to talk a little bit about risk. You mentioned before we had to take our break that people have to understand what their risk tolerance is. Now, in the bond portfolio, let's say the corporate bond portfolio, is that built with a certain risk level so people will know, hey, that's me. That's about right for me. Or are there several choices that they have to make? How would they actually use it and understand their own risk tolerance?
Well, I just did an article the other day. I think it came out Tuesday, or it's coming out next Tuesday, that talked exactly about how to find your risk tolerance. And I said, you know, there are all types of technical indicators that you can use. But I said one of the best ways to figure out what your risk tolerance is after one of these days that we've had recently, these 300, 400, 500, 600, 700 point days, up and down. You know, after a couple of those, take a few seconds, sit back and think about what is your gut telling you about this? I mean, if you are pacing around the house, wringing your hands, calling your friends, calling your broker, saying, what should we do, what should we do, what should we do? You're in the wrong investments. You're outside your risk tolerance. Your risk tolerance is, I define it by saying that you should be able to hold your portfolio through any up and down until you hit preset stop limits. Okay, so if I live down here in the retirement belt in Florida, and
right.
People come up to me all the time. You know, people in my neighborhood where I hang out for breakfast in the morning. It's the best place in the world for information about investing. Actually, what not to invest in is probably a better description. And they'll come up to me and go, "Where is the market going? What am I supposed to do? How should I handle this?" And I always, nobody listens, but I always say the same thing. If you're asking me that, you're in the wrong investment. So the best thing you could probably do is get out of those things and start over. Because if you're that jumpy about the market at our age, and most of these people are older than I am, then you are definitely
yes.
assuming way too much risk.
Now, let's talk about risk. Let's understand this. If interest rates go up roughly 1%, you could lose roughly 10% if you're in a long-term bond. People don't realize that the volatility is not only in stocks, it's also in bonds.
Right.
So I know one of your philosophies is don't go long. Don't go long with these.
Right.
But I'm going to do it to you anyway. I'm going to ask you, what do you see? Do you think we're going to have progressively higher rates? What's your feeling about that?
Well, you know, the economy is doing very, very well. A lot of people don't like Trump, and certainly the press doesn't like Trump. But, you know, I have a lot of trouble arguing with the results of what he's doing. Would I like to turn off his Twitter account and gag him? Yes, I would.
Right.
But the economy is doing incredibly well under him, and most people have never seen this type of economy or the type of interest rate market that we're going to be going back. We have been without inflation now for, 10 years, maybe longer, real inflation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you and I and most of the people listening remember double-digit inflation. My first mortgage in 1983 was 13.625%. That's inflation. Those are high interest rates.
Right. But super savers, we would rate online at the bank, they were 19% for a short period of time. You could get 19% on your CD for a short period.
But remember, inflation was taking 16 and 17% of that, and then you paid your taxes. So no matter what you're earning on a CD, you're losing money long term. I mean, yes,
right.
We all have some cash. You have to keep it around, but you're losing money no matter what the inflation rate is. Because, you know, where's the inflation rate now? 2%? And you're getting about 1.5% from a CD or 2%, maybe, for a short CD.
Yeah.
But is our interest rate going to go up? They have to.
Yeah. So we are seeing that, and that's why it's very important to kind of use the philosophy that Steve has been doing for a long time, 15 years, and that is stay short. Explain to them why having short-term interest will help if interest rates go up.
Yeah. Municipal bonds and government bonds, treasuries, have a one-to-one correlation, virtually a one-to-one correlation with interest rates. As interest rates go up, the market value of existing bonds goes down. I like corporate bonds because there's a negative correlation between interest rates and corporate bond prices. Well, that's the first thing you have to understand. These long maturity mutual funds, ETFs, or long maturity bonds are going to get crucified in the next 3, 5, 10, 7 year period as rates go back to normal. And normal is around 4% on the 10-year, and we're at 2.7 right now. So it's got a long way to go. As I said, corporate rates have a negative correlation to interest rates, and the shorter the maturity of the corporate bond, the less volatility you have. And the key to owning a bond is staying in your bond. Collect that interest, wait till maturity, unless the market gives us a nice surprise and we're able to sell it for a profit beforehand, which we do in about half the cases. Now, we go with short maturities because, for example, even without the interest rate factor, in the last few weeks as the markets have gone crazy, we've only seen about a 1% or 2% fluctuation in our corporate bond portfolio. They aren't tied to the stock market. They are tied to fundamentals. And if you keep a five-year average maturity, which is what I tell people to do, you know, you should see little or no effect from increasing interest rates. Okay. But the key is interest rates and maturity.
So what we're going to do when we come back is we're going to talk a little bit about slap in the face award. I can't wait to hear what that's about. But we're also going to talk about I love that idea. And by the way, Steve is very, very funny. I'm not really allowing him to be because I want him, his pearls of wisdom to get out. But he is hysterical, and people just flock to him for entertainment as well as education at these conferences. However, one of the things that Good Newsletter does for you is helps you with self-discipline, which we don't get very often in our lives. We'll talk about that, how to use the newsletter. We'll be back in just a moment.
And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Right, so this is terrific. And again, we're going to do the same thing, take a brief break while we're resetting. And the two things I do want to don't tell me now because I like the surprise. You'll tell me what that means,
right.
The slap in the
right.
face award. And then I do want to talk about a more generalized, how do you use a newsletter? I personally am inundated with, you know, requests, premiums, buy this premium, it should cost you $2,000, it'll only be $49, you know what I'm talking about. So
right,
what
sure.
should they look for? How do they navigate that? I'm ready, Stu. We are ready. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are we still there?
Yeah.
You may think that
All right. Yeah. We're too late. We're going to start again. Only it's like 10 or 20 seconds of time.
Okay.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy.
And hello, and this is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. The Fountain of Truth about what? About aging. So let me reintroduce the show to you guys who are just tuning in from different parts of the country. We are, as far as I know, and nobody has challenged me, the only syndicated show on successful aging in the country. And you can either hear us from your local stations, for many of you throughout the nation. You can also always hear us from anywhere in the world on BizTalk, and that's a free app. We are on always at 10 a.m. on Sundays, and that's Eastern Time, and in many, many states Saturday night as well. And, of course, you can go to GenerationBoldRadio.com and hear all the archives for many, many years, send us pictures, read some of the articles. It's just a very nice group of people who are our listeners. And just a couple of weeks ago, I launched a blog, and that blog is called Aging for Beginners. And you can get that at Bottom Line Personal, which is one of the larger newsletter services also online, Bottom Line Personal, Aging for Beginners. So I'm going to throw this now back to a fellow who's toiled in the field of newsletters for a very, very long time. His name is Steve McDonald. I think you already know how interesting he is, but also how on top of your needs he is. He's a contributing editor to Oxford Club's Income Letter and Wealthy Retirement. Before we go further, I'm just going to ask you again, Steve. I didn't tell you I'd do this during the break. Tell everybody again where to find the Oxford Club and your letters.
Yeah, the website is oxfordclub.com, or there's also a website called oxfordbondadvantage.com where you can get information about my corporate bond service that I run. So everything you need is on those two websites.
And we're going to unpack that in a minute. But first, I'm just curious because I saw in your bio that you are the creator of, hello, the Slap in the Face Award. Now, what is the Slap in the Face Award?
Oh, God, this goes back about 10 years. During the collapse, the 2008-2009 collapse, I found myself doing segments. At that time, I think it was called the Weekly Update, where every week, you know, these people, these bankers, these brokers, these people who should have gone to jail and didn't go to jail would say some of the stupidest things I've ever heard come out of an adult's mouth. And some of them were even done under oath in front of Congress. And I started writing about them and saying, you know, here's this week's slap in the face from Washington or from Wall Street. And it's kind of evolved, though, into a retirement commentary where I talk about you know, I think I did one recently about dating in your golden years and things not to do or things that people are doing online for internet dating that I just find hilarious, like using a picture that's 20 or 30 years old and,
right,
and expecting the other person on the other end not to figure it out. I mean, that's the sort of thing we do. It's mostly retirement related now and things I hear people saying down here in the retirement belt that I just find funny and entertaining. That sort of thing. It's supposed to be lighthearted, but occasionally I give them a good slap in the face. A lot of people can use it once in a while.
And do people who are subscribers to your newsletter get that automatically? Are they able to have access to that?
Yeah, this is actually free.
Cool.
If you go to wealthyretirement.com and just give them your email, you'll get that video, the Slap in the Face Award video every Friday and the 2-Minute Retirement Solution every Tuesday. Those are all free e-letters.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah,
well, that's really cool. Well, one thing about a picture, and then I really want to unpack how people should use newsletters. I also do a lot of seminars, as you do, and I've been using an old picture, like you're talking about, and I'm self-conscious about it, and I make a joke about it, oh, everybody should see my picture from 1972. But I decided to get a new picture, and I did. And then it came back, and it looked younger. I said, wait a minute.
Oh, no.
This is really false advertising.
Really?
Yes, false advertising. I said, and he said, you know, I photoshopped all your wrinkles out. So I paid $500 for a picture. Yeah.
Thanks for nothing.
For a picture to look younger. And everybody looks at this and they say, what a vain person this is. She gives me a picture like when she was 12. I said, no, I paid $500.
Oh, no.
I took it last week, but it's photoshopped. So you can't win.
Funny.
Let me tell you about this on the picture. It is true, though. All right, now let's go back. We do get things in the mailbox, emails, so on. You must buy this. You must go to this service, this alert. So the first specific question I want to ask you is, you do both an alert or trading portfolio service and a newsletter. What's the difference between the two, and do you use both? Should somebody use both, and in what circumstance? Explain that to us.
A newsletter normally comes out once a month, and in fact, there's quite a bit of talk right now in the industry that should be a daily service, not a monthly. You know, in our newsletter, for example, Mark Lichtenfeld will recommend a dividend stock. I'll recommend a corporate bond, always investment grade. In the income letter, it's all investment grade corporate bond. And the issue that's being raised in the industry right now is, well, you know, I have to write that 2 weeks before it goes out in order to get it through legal and editing. You know, there's a question about how timely it is. So, you know, you may be seeing the newsletter shifting to daily or weekly updates, which I totally agree with. I do two updates a week on my Oxford Bond Advantage. I don't know how you can do it on a monthly basis. How do you use a monthly newsletter? You know, use it as a suggestion, something you should consider. I always encourage my people, you know, do a little research yourself, but always give it, you know, the fire. Is this appropriate for me? Does this fit my risk tolerance? Is it something I understand? Am I going to be able to own this through a sell-off? You know, the biggest problem the average guy has who manages his own money is panic selling at the bottom. And, boy, there's a lot of it going on right now in this market.
Right.
Now,
trading service, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that has to be much more specific. That's something where the editor, which is my goal, I try to stay in touch with my people. I want to update them. I have two fixed updates on Wednesday and Friday. And the purpose of the Wednesday is to update the portfolio, make a new recommendation, talk about sells and that sort of thing. On Friday, it's strictly, in most cases, I'm slapping them on the wrist going, look, I read every email that's sent to me, and there's an email address on every alert. That's something you should look for in a service. If this guy who's selling you a service is only going in one direction, he's only sending you information, and you have no opportunity to question him, I'd consider someone else. You know, everybody at the Oxford Club reads every email that we receive, and we have, you know, you can go directly to the Oxford Club or directly to me at the Oxford Bond Advantage email address that's listed in every alert. And, you know, that is essential to me because my members get to complain, they get to compliment me, but I get to hear what they're thinking about. And that helps me guide where I'm going on the education level because a trading service shouldn't just be investment ideas. It should also be structure, feedback. You know, I've got 35 years. And I want to share that with my readers, and the only way to do that is to know what they're having trouble with. So it's about communication as much as it is about investment ideas. It's about education as much as investing as well.
Fantastic. You know, we have a couple, just about 2 minutes, and I know that one of the things you said earlier was that there's actually some lesson or courses or education, I don't know what you call it, if you become a member and you have your newsletter. So is that kind of an education in how bonds work or corporate bonds work? Is that what you've set out
exactly
for people who are beginners? Fantastic.
Yeah, there are videos.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
There are five videos that are part of the service. And what I say to my people is, listen, do not buy a bond until you watch all five of those and understand them. And then if you have questions, email me directly. I will answer the questions for you. Actually, for legal reasons, it has to go through one of my guys in research. For some crazy reason, Adrian, federal law prohibits me from communicating with people one-on-one. So it's got to go through a guy in research. But I'm writing the answers. He's sending them out to the readers. But, yeah, education is key. You know, most people have really bad backgrounds in money. You and I both know that.
Well, you know, talk about restrictions. I'm licensed. I'm a financial gerontologist.
Okay.
I work with people on insurance, 65. I have a Series 65, and that's what I do
right
in my day job, let's say. Well, as a result,
yeah,
I can't say anything on the radio. I can't tell people what's going on in my
that's
world
right
on the radio.
You
I can talk
you
to you. And
yeah,
right, I could
yeah
I could review I could interview you. You could tell people what's going on in the world of corporate bonds and income, but I can't.
Yeah,
so isn't that an
right
interesting thing? That's how yeah, it's our restrictions. When we come back, I want to talk to you. It's unbelievable. We're coming almost to the end of our line here. I want to talk to you again about the integration of newsletters, specifically financial newsletters, with how you're talking with your financial planner
you
or your advisor so that people can understand how to navigate that.
Not
it's not necessarily one or the other.
I am happy,
yeah. Don't go anywhere.
And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da.
Okay. So a couple of things. First of all, I can't believe it. And how many minutes is it? Okay, so we have 8 minutes. So three things. First of all, I want to talk about, in your understanding of these folks, do most of them have advisors or are they do-it-yourself types? That's
right
one question. The other is, and I don't know how much you want to get into this, you don't have to talk about the cost of it specifically with the Oxford Club. But if you have general
right
thoughts, and I don't even know the answer to this one, does the Oxford Club have free trials or they don't have free trials? I don't know.
Yeah, I think, you know, Julia Guth is, as I said, she rides us pretty hard as far as quality. And one of the things that she maintains is that if they're not happy, you know, give them their money back. It's that simple.
Okay, so.
I don't.
Okay, and the.
And it's prorated in most
ahead
cases. You can't use this for 300 days and expect to get a full year's refund from it.
Right.
But, you know, there's always an 800 number you can call directly to our customer service people. And, you know, if you're that unhappy, we'll give you your money back.
Okay, so we'll talk about that. The other is and the Holbrook used to be around. They would vet newsletters. I don't know if they're around anymore. Are there any
Holbert, I believe that, Mark is now writing for MarketWatch, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So we'll ask you if there's any places that people can look for, you know, reviews, almost like the New York Times review of books, of newsletters.
Yeah. I wish there were.
What
it would
else?
Be great.
Yeah, I wish they were. And what else would you like to do? I don't want the segment to go away without a topic that you would like to cover.
Oh, I think I'd probably just hammer on the safety issues, risk tolerance.
Okay.
You know.
Okay, good.
There's no way to replace our money,
said,
what it comes down to.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, very good. 10 seconds of silence now.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And let me just give you our website again. For those of you who are just tuning in, have never heard of this show or just surfing on their radio, this is the only show that deals with aging. Now, don't turn this one off. Aging starts at 30. It is not for people who happen to have just hit 65 and all of a sudden you think about your aging. It's biological, it's psychological, it's economic, it's relationship-driven, it's travel and leisure-driven. There's so many topics that we cover with some of the best educators in the country, in the world. For those of you who know this show, we often have folks from all over, everywhere. We've had people from Singapore to Australia to London and so on. You cannot find this information anywhere else in this way. So if you want to look at the archives and see if a topic of interest to you is on there, you can listen free of charge always. You go to generationboldradio.com. There's also a section there called Ask Adrienne. And if there's a topic that you think is missing, or a guest you'd like to hear about, we've had many celebrities on the show, let us know about it, because even Hollywood is stepping up to the plate when it comes to aging. There's a lot of shows on exactly about that. The big hoo-ha over the Roseanne show, for example, this is an older family now. They morphed from, you know, a young family with young kids to us. So let's talk about it together on GenerationBoldRadio.com. Now, speaking of talking, we have one of the best lecturers ever on personal finance with us right now, and his name is Steve McDonald. I've had at least 3 or 4 opportunities to hear him, and he mentioned very early in the show that the Oxford Club is also a travel club, a financial travel. Yeah. You may never have heard of that, but I've had the pleasure of being on some of the most beautiful trips, ships, places in the world, and at the same time, I'm meeting great, and I'm learning about personal finance, and Steve is often a lecturer there. He's the contributing editor of the Income Letter and Wealthy Retirement for the Oxford Club. So one of the things I wanted to ask Steve, and we talked about this a bit during the break, many people have financial advisors already. Not everybody is a do-it-yourselfer. How do they use a newsletter? How do they integrate it? Is their financial advisor going to take umbrage that they have suggestions, or should they separate a portfolio? How have you seen your readers use the newsletter in this way?
I would say it's a 50-50 thing. Half our people manage their own money, half use an advisor of some sort, whether it's a CPA or their attorney or a financial advisor. If you take an idea to a financial advisor and they poo-poo it because, quote, it came from a newsletter and you can't trust those people, I'd think about a different financial advisor. I mean, if you bring something to now, that's assuming that you've had some success with this letter, which our readers do with our letters. They're all successful. They don't last very long. But if you take something to your broker, I think his responsibility is to take a look at it, research it for you, and give you feedback in his opinion. If he automatically poo-poos it because it comes from someone else, I definitely consider another broker. In fact, I encourage my bond people to use a full-service broker, especially if they're new to bonds, because it's a different world. We're a stock head. The market is all about equity. It's all about stock. Bonds are a different language. There are different concepts. So I actually list 4 brokers on my newsletter on every alert. I don't get 1 cent from them. I don't get so much as a cup of coffee from them. The club is very, very strict about that. But I list those brokers, and I always say to people when they write in emails, they'll say, my broker can't get this bond, or my broker couldn't sell this bond, or my broker said, bonds are risky. And my response to that is, this guy's buying you stock, and he's telling you bonds are risky. But I list, the newbies should be getting some help. They need somebody to watch their back. I like full-service brokers. I use a full-service broker myself. It's a 50-50 call.
The trends are going away from full-service brokers, and be aware of that. Just be aware that you get what you pay for very, very frequently until
exactly.
you become your own pro.
Yeah. One of the big red flags that I had before the sell-off started is that all of the online brokers were reporting record numbers of new investors, first-time investors, opening accounts. And that, to me, was the final red flag. In fact, I wrote a piece in the Slap in the Face Award, and I said, that's it. That's the final piece of the puzzle. The sell-off is going to start now. And it did. I hit it right on the head, right on. And it was pure luck, of course.
One of the things I can say, I guess, is we know that one of the indicators of a market going down is buying of odd lots. And the reason that we know this is the small investor buys an odd lot, not 100 shares, because they can't afford to go into 100 shares. So the minute the odd lots start coming in, we know small people are coming in. Once small people are coming in, it's all over. We know right away that they're going against the trend. So that's exactly what I'm saying that about stocks, as you're saying about bonds. But I do want to make sure that we don't, before we leave, how much money do you think people need to have? People might be thinking, hey, I just don't have enough money in my portfolio. Can you get into a good bond portfolio for a small amount? Because you did say diversify, to diversify risk.
Yeah.
Or is there some threshold that you're going to suggest to people?
Yeah, the minimum you should own or you should have is probably $20,000, $25,000. I would prefer to see a little more, so you get more diversification. One of the rules of thumb is own as many bonds as you can manage and buy the smallest positions you can. That's 1 in 2 bonds if you have to. So at $20,000, that would give you about 10 bonds, and that's really the minimum that you should own.
Well, this is fascinating, and I think people are gearing up to realizing that after they retire, the money, it's an old-fashioned saying, but the money has to go out and work for you. And the way it does that is by getting you income. And so that is really why it's called a Steve McDonald income letter through the Oxford Club and Wealthy Retirement and all the fun stuff like the 2-minute retirement and the slap in the face award and so on. So thank you so much, Steve. We think at the beginning of the hour that we have a lot of time to talk, and then all of a sudden it disappears on us. Yeah, I know. It's true of life, too, isn't it? Yeah.
It is.
So thank you very much. And I want to tell everybody out there that this is the place for you to have a voice also. Many of our guests are chosen because you told us that that's what you guys want to hear about. So you're getting newsletters in the mail. And get out there, kids, and make it happen. Okay.
We all done? Was it okay?
Well done. Amazing stuff. Yeah, it was wonderful. I hope you felt that way, too. You certainly got a lot out, don't you think?
Yeah, and I get on a roll. I'm very passionate about this whole retirement safety education thing. It's just, you know how important it is. It's amazing.
Right. It is. So anyway, thank you. And I can't hang up because I have to stay online, right, Stu? Do I have to stay online for the next guest? Yeah, we're doing 2 shows today because I'm going away to California to be a grandma.
Oh, good.
So next week
I won't
be around to do the show. So, all right.
Okay.
And, it's interesting.
Well, have fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Also, I can do a lot of moving on Monday when you're with Clinton. No? And we don't have to show up tomorrow.
Believe me, that would help me a lot.
Yeah, so I'll do it. I mean, Monday. I'm going to do press this radio when they hear me off. I don't know how it sounded, you know, on the recording, but it sounded good from here. I won't know how it sounded until it's done. It's okay. Let me do the radio first. We should have pulled in. Rich is on. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Stuart, how you
Rich?
Doing?
Hey.
Yeah.
Okay, how are you?
Good. Yourself?
Hang on.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you,
can
yeah.
Can you hear me, Rich?
I can hear you, yes. Yep.
Very good. Hang on for Adrian. She'll be there in a second.
All right, great. Thank you.
What? No voice. Okay, Rich, here's Adrian. Hang on.
Okay.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Good, we're not on the air. What's going to happen is, in a few minutes, you both have to be quiet. And Stuart will get us on, and we'll record. It's going to be 4 segments. They're about 8 to 11 minutes long, so they're long.
Okay. Right.
And then the big thing is that at the end of each, music comes on. Now, when the music comes on, we get cut off. That's intentional. So I know when that's going to come on, and you don't. So what will happen is, if you happen to hear the music, just finish your sentence. But most likely what will happen is I will cut you off and say, you know, we have to talk to our sponsor, and then I'll finish that segment, all right? So the first thing we're going to talk about is this idea of engagement, right? And what you have created in CU Link for that engagement. So the first is this new idea of engagement. You'll see from my question, it'll be very guiding. And then all the ways that it's being used, how it's being used in every permutation, whether it's the Holocaust, whether it's an individual or the kids. And we'll just talk about this explosion in age tech and what's going on in that area. So we'll get started with that. And the second, we won't even finish that. That'll come right into the second segment. We will also tell them how to access it. And then we'll talk about other things in a minute. All right. And we have a little bit of a chance to decide what we're going to talk about next during each segment break. But we're ready.
Okay, great.
We're ready to go.
Okay.
And now we just have to be quiet.
Got it.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, 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 this is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the only show, and no one has challenged me yet, that is syndicated, that deals with one and only one topic, and that is successful aging. And aging begins at 30. You don't wake up at 65 and say, hey, I have to think about my aging. It's happening to you whether you're thinking about it or not. And it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. At least that's our philosophy. And so every single week we have one or two really super guests
people that you'd never be able to access or speak to without this show. And one of the great explosions that we're seeing everywhere is what's called H-Tech. You may or may not have heard that term, but it's the insider's term of technology that deals with successful aging. And for those of you who don't know, I'll give you a little surprise. MIT, the great school, MIT, has an age lab where they look at technology and they develop technology for folks who are aging. And one of those items that they've been developing is the driverless car. So if you've been hearing about driverless cars, there was actually a terrible accident with one of them recently that's been in the news, and what's coming for your future, this all started because baby boomers, the researchers knew, didn't want to give away the keys. Now, what baby boomers want is to use technology to stay connected. But what about that group that can't access Facebook or doesn't know about social media or would love to see their grandkids on Skype? But they just didn't grow up in the time of technology, and it's just simply beyond them. I know my mom was one of those. She wanted to join an online knitting class, and if I put it on for her, great. If not, she couldn't do it. There are great pioneers and thinkers in this field, and one of them is with us today, and his name is Richard Brown. He's a tech genius and somebody who is the founder of many companies, actually, in the world of technology. But one particular one deals with our issues, and it's called CU-Link. And you can see already or hear already from the title, CU-Link, S-E-E, that it has to do with being linked together. And he tells me that there's a whole explosion in the area of engagement for people who are older through technology. So welcome, Rich. Let's talk about that just as we get started. About what is this idea of engagement? What does that actually mean when it comes to the older adult?
Good morning, Adrienne. I'd love to talk about that. Engagement technology is sort of a new industry term that everybody's using. And we've sort of extended it a little bit. We coin simple engagement technology. And it's really to be able to get these older adults that haven't had a chance to use technology to access the internet, to look at the news, to be able to easily and without having to understand technology by looking and touching on a screen an icon that says news or an icon that says video calling. So it's a simple, easy to use, developed specifically for older adults. By one of my partners. He put the design together, Dr. Keith Saville. He's a doctor of gerontology, and Keith came up with the look and the feel based on his experience in dealing with that field and its color schemes and its the size of the buttons that you press on the screen. And these are touchscreen computers, by the way, so you don't have to worry about the mouse. The mouse is always a problem with older adults. I'm an older adult. Our fine motor skills tend to, we tend to lose our control of our fine motor skills. So what we've done is we've created this look on the screen, and it's a touchscreen computer, that all they have to do is they have to see what they want to do. If they want to call somebody, they want to look at the weather, look at the news, they touch the icon, it automatically connects them to that feature. And then based on what they want to do, they can read a news article. If they want to call their grandchildren, there'll be pictures of people that they want to call. They hit the picture, and it'll connect them to that person. There's a number of features like that that we've developed. And actually, we developed this for one of my partners as well, our CEO, Lars Graf. His mother has macular degeneration, and he had tried a number of different technologies. And they're frustrating, and they were hard to use, and they were hard to set up, and they were hard to keep working. So we sat down, came up with this design, this simple look and feel design that allowed her now to connect with her grandchildren. And while she still has her sight, be able to see them. And that really is a game changer, by the way. A calling is great, but seeing has this emotional attachment to it that that people just they comment over and over, and we have testimonials that we can talk about later about that, about how people that are in their mid-80s to 90s to 100 have used CU Link, and how it has impacted and changed their lives for the better. I mean, it's really re-engaged them into living.
Now, you know, I don't want to dwell only with people that have sight issues, but my mother also had macular degeneration, and I can't help thinking if she was alive today and I was going to California to see my first grandchild, would be her first great-grandchild, the thrill it would be to be able to stay at home in New York for her and see that baby. How wonderful. Now, I do know, because we've had a little discussion of this, that there was a gentleman with very, very difficult sight problems. And you were actually able to fine-tune the picture so that he could see. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, great question. We're currently working with a group in Serbia right now at an assisted living facility there. And one of the gentlemen there is a professor of mathematics. A retired professor of mathematics, he's in his late 80s, and he is considered 80% blind, and he just has, he's had issues being able to use technology successfully, and one of the features that we have within our system is to be able to adjust the contrast, and we've gone in there with him, and the first time he used this, it was eye-opening. I mean, he could read the news. He could read news articles. He could now search on the internet for articles he was looking for. He's able to use video calling where before he couldn't because all the buttons are so small, and it's just hard to select those small buttons from most of these video programs that are out there. So the ones that we've integrated have large buttons, and you can adjust the size of text fonts to as large as you want. And this has had a real positive impact. In fact, we're out there again today. My guys are making a second pass through some changes they made, and this guy is already seeing a significant change. And this is a very bright, on the whole, very bright older gentleman, very active still. Likes to learn and using the internet for that, but he has to have everything printed out for him in big fonts, and it's still hard for him to see. He has to get within millimeters of the paper in order to read it, and we've noticed that since we made some low vision changes to our product, that it was eye-opening to see his response to being able to now, comfortably read and see and use our particular program with the things that he wanted to do. So definitely.
And now,
speaking
of that, it's going to have a terrific impact. And before we leave for our first break, I just want to say this. There are many, many features here, and it is unique. Everyone in the field of age tech is creating things, but they're not doing it in a silo. They're making sure that the innovations they put, they're looking at people who are older, having them use it. I mean, there's been many guinea pigs, so to speak, with CU Link. When we come back, though, I want to talk to you, to Rich Brown, who is the founder, one of the founders of CU Link, about the journey that they had. We have also many baby boomer listeners who are caregivers, Rich. They themselves know technology. It's just that they need to set it up for their family member, and look how hard you are working with just one gentleman. So we want to talk about how to use CU Link or any other technology that's coming up for the caregiver, not just for the older adult themselves. Because in our field, in financial planning, we call this remote technology. Why? Because we have a lot of clients who move, and they don't want to leave us. And we're able to still work with them, and they are older adults because I'm a financial gerontologist. So we remotely need to communicate with them, not just them communicating with us. And a lot of caregivers who are listening now and are taking care of their older adult parents are worried about them. They're not living near them. They have to monitor them by phone or a neighbor or a home aide.
You may think
come back.
I'm
we want to talk about
the
link to the caregiver. We'll be back.
Not even a bit, I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay, so you see where we're going with the next segment, Rich. It's going to be how assisted livings can use this. In other words, how it gets integrated into what people are doing, not only from the point of view of the older adult. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, we'll talk about the caregivers. You want me to talk about the evolution of CU-Link at all? How we
yes.
developed it?
Okay,
we'll talk about
sure.
that. All right, so I mean, basically what we can do, I can talk about the caregivers and what we give them to help manage and set up their
that's it.
Yeah, you know, their
the system, really.
Yeah. So I mean, we let them add features as the older adults ready to use them, rather than being overwhelmed.
Okay, so,
I mean, it's okay.
So now we have to be quiet again, and we have to get
yep.
back on the air. So no
okay.
talking, and Stuart, go ahead.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. Once again, this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. The truth about aging. Now, aging does not only mean what is generally considered the old. We are talking today with Rich Brown. He's the founder, one of the founders of CU-Link. We'll tell you how to access that in a moment. But that is technology for the older adult. And you might say, well, you know, all that Rich has to do is figure that out. It's hard enough. But really, who sets this up? Either caregivers or people, professionals in the field and assisted living communities, and many others, they have to set it up. So it's just as important, I know, Rich, for this to be useful to them as it is the older adults that it's meant to serve. So first, before we go any further, how can people read more about CU-Link?
Great. What you can do is you can go to our website, and it's www.culink.com, and that's CEEYOULINK.com. It has a number of interesting articles on it from some of our older users older adults that have used CU-Link. Then also what you can do is if you have any further questions, you can reach us at info@CU-Link.com. That's info@CU-Link.com. And we can answer any questions you have. That's how we contact people. Will call us. And actually, Adrienne made a great point about innovation. We take our innovation from user questions, from people that are using our system. They say, well, it does this, but I need it to do that. Can you guys do that? And those are all great things. We've added a lot of innovation. We've added a lot of depth to a lot of our features because of end user issues that they're dealing with. So our product is constantly evolving. But just to get back to the caregivers just for a second, we've developed our system so that a caregiver can set this up for their family members or their older friends that they're taking care of. And one of the things that my partner, Dr. Keith Saville, came up with, he says, look, you can't throw everything at them all at once. Some people can handle it. Some people get just overwhelmed. So one of the things that we've designed into our product is the ability to turn features on as these users get comfortable with using technology. Now, I mean, some people have never used technology. As funny as that sounds, we've been dealing with a group in the UK now of older adults. Median the average age is 88, and these were Holocaust survivors and first-generation immigrants. And over 60% of that group had never used a computer before in their life. So, you know, you've got that overwhelming factor, and we were able to bring this into their home and engage them. And within a week, they're up and they're using video calling for their family members, and they're searching the internet, and they're, you know, reading news. And, you know, we can bring in any news service that you might be interested in looking at, not just the traditional Yahoo News and BBC, but, you know, our system is so robust when it comes to integrating new features and new services that we're able to do it rapidly. And that's, you know, that's sort of what makes us who we are. You know, we're able to service.
Right. Now, what, you know, Rich, you mentioned the UK, you mentioned Serbia, you mentioned people, Holocaust survivors, probably English is not their first language.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I was impressed with is that it is multilingual, and we have a lot of folks listening who are caregivers of older adults whose their first language is not English, but their children's first language is English. And I know that there's a lot of features that deal with that issue.
Absolutely right. And there again, part of our design is to be able to rapidly engage a new language. And once we get a group that's interested in a particular, in fact, we just did this for Norwegian. I'm working with a group in Norway, and they needed to have a translation into Norwegian, and we're able to do that within 2 to 3 days, is to get that our entire site, user site, translated to a new language, so we can rapidly get that done. It doesn't take weeks, it doesn't take months. We've built a process that's able to create, convert rapidly. So it's we're always looking for to areas of making our product more efficient and more user friendly. And there again, I mean, you know, our users are our development, a roadmap.
Right, your development team, sure.
Yes, right.
As
so
they express their issues, you respond. Now, let me ask you about hardware. You did mention that, particularly when we were talking about the fellow who had sight issues, that,
mm-hmm.
you blithely said, well, you know, it's a touch screen. So I know that CU-Link is not in the hardware business. Do you specifically recommend, or what type of computers should these folks have if they're going to use the CU-Link technology?
Yeah, good question. I mean, it doesn't require a high power machine, because we're not doing any real high power analytics. It requires an internet connection, and it requires, if you're comfortable with a keyboard and mouse, then you can use that. And they work in conjunction with strictly a touchscreen computer. An all-in-one computer is one that's probably 2 or 3 inches wide, and the whole computer sits right on your desktop. So that's, you know, that seems to be the one that with our group in the UK that we've supported, they've taken to that very readily, where it's, a 21-inch screen, and so you're seeing big buttons, and all you have to do is touch the screen, and that actually accesses that particular feature and starts it. If they want to type an email, if they want to search for something on the internet, they will need to have a keyboard to do that. But, you know, these are sort of, you know, the next step features. You know, once our users get used to, they can't break the machine. I mean, you just cannot break CU-Link. Once we get it installed, we have very little after installation support, you know, other than maybe questions about a new feature. So
what are we going to do when we come back? Is we want to talk about one other aspect of this. We've talked about the caregiver on how easy it is to set it up remotely and what the features are. I want to talk about age tech in general. You talked about engagement technology. In general, this is a huge and burgeoning field. And it's not a field that most people go into because they feel that soon everybody will be tech savvy. And, this is the fountain of truth. The older adults who've never used technology will be dying out. And who needs to have age tech when the new folks all know about it? Well, what's going on with CU-Link is, and I think almost, I won't say anything's an accident, Rich, but surprisingly, this is being used by young people high school people. And we'll talk about how technology evolved and trickle-down effect from HPEC to the rest of us regardless of age. We'll be back in one moment, and I think you're going to enjoy this little story.
For my age, da 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 da.
Okay, so obviously we're going to introduce, again, how to find it, but then we'll go into the fascinating story. I think it's great, of the school project, okay?
Okay, great. Yeah, we can do that. One of the things I forgot to mention is the ability for the caregivers to connect using their cell phones with our cell phone application. So maybe we'll talk about that. You know, it's just another way that they can reach out mobily.
Yeah, I want to bring that up, but I also want to bring up, are you still doing you're still doing the religion? I want to talk about that.
Yeah, we're still streaming. Yes. Yeah,
okay.
we
so
can. I wanted to talk about some of the features in C-Link, and that was one of them.
Yeah, 10 seconds of silence. Okay.
Okay, great.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello once again. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. Now, we talk about all kinds of topics, and one of them today is aging technology, technology for aging. So, many people don't even know it exists. As a financial gerontologist, I actually look into, for my clients, great places to invest in this field. And it's coming up in my research constantly, some very interesting phenomenon. And this is what it is. People start developing something in the field of aging, and all of a sudden it trickles down or trickles out or trickles up, depending on how you want to look at it, to the rest of the population. The greatest example I always give is the driverless car. It was concentrated on at the MIT Age Lab, I mentioned that earlier, really because of the idea that the baby boomer would not want to give their keys up. And it becomes a phenomenon for the rest of the world and the rest of the community, regardless of age. There's a lot more. Robotics. If you go to the largest trade show in the world, I understand it to be the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas. Happens once a year. Used to go every year. One of the smallest pavilions was the Silver Pavilion and the Digital Health Pavilion. Well, now it's one of the largest, particularly the Digital Health. And it all began through technology for aging. Now, CU-Link, you're going to be hearing again from Rich Brown in a moment. He's one of the founders of CU-Link, a technology to link folks who are older, unfamiliar with technology, with their loved ones, with the rest of the world, with their health care and more. Well, that's also trickling out or down to younger people. And, Rich, thank you for being with us again. Let me just ask you to tell everybody again where to find CU-Link, and then a story that I find fascinating about how teenagers are using this. Go ahead.
Great. Yeah, Adrienne, thanks. You can reach us at www.culink.com, and that's SEEYOULINK.com. Specifically, if you have very specific questions, you need to get a hold of me. You can get a hold of me at rich@culink.com. That's rich@culink.com, or info@culink.com. Interesting enough, and we'll talk about CES. I get some great stories about CES and our early days. We've been around since 2010 is when we started developing CU-Link. But anyways, we're dealing with this group in the UK, and the managing director of the group that's doing the support for their particular end users of CU-Link. His daughter decided that she had an idea that she wanted to connect high school students between the UK and France, because what she was seeing is that even though these students had 4 years of French or Italian or German, they couldn't converse professionally enough to be effective when they got into the workforce. So her idea was to take our subset, which is our CU-Link mobile piece, by the way, which we let caregivers, family members use at no cost when they subscribe for their older adults to use CU-Link, and that's as many users as you want. And basically, it's a cell phone application that allows you to do a video call from your cell phone or your tablet, and that's iPhone or Android, and to be able to connect visually to your family member. So what she has, getting back to the My Dialogue product, she came up with this idea. We wound up adding a few features to help better connect high school students because their schedules are so diverse between France and England and time frame differences. And now she's got, you know, thousands of kids online talking, you know, 20 minutes in French and 20 minutes in English. So it's helping these students become better qualified in actually professionally speaking and working in a language. And in Europe, it's, you know, it's very important. There's just so many countries that are so close. You need to be multilingual. And you know, her experience coming out of college that she wasn't ready for it. She just couldn't, you know, speak it at that level that she would fit in a professional environment. So this has been going on for 2 years now. Continues to grow. They're growing their company, and there's a few more features we need to be able to manage it better, and we're sort of waiting for them to come up with some financing to finish out the product. But right now, and this young lady that's running this project went out and talked to the schools themselves in the UK, and she had 30 or 40 high schools immediately thought it was a great idea and wanted to get on board, and she went to France as well and did the same thing. And the schools in general say this is just such a great idea to be able to get our high school students to converse, and they want to start moving it downstream in the school systems so they can start at a younger age. So they can become more adept at, you know, at French, and then the Spanish want to get involved, and then the Italians want to get involved, and the Germans want to get involved. So, and I'm doing some business in Scandinavia, and they think it's a great idea. So it's definitely a great idea, and it seems to be working. So we're moving ahead with that, but it's just another use of our platform that we've been able just to spin out and actually build a whole separate vertical market. And that's you know,
that's what I'm bringing out. You know, Rich, people talk about age tech as if it is a silo unto itself. It really isn't. It's spilling over in all directions. And again, robotics is also something very important to manufacturing. That's really what got its oomph. Unfortunately, it's about eliminating jobs, but that is what is going on there. However, that got co-opted by the aging folks who are now using robots as potential caregivers. So it's really all of a piece here. And when you watch a company like CU-Link, you see what it's doing. It's almost like a prototype of any kind of technology development firm and the ways and the places it could go. Now, let's get back to one other thing. There are a group of people. We have a lot of folks who are experts on our show that do deal with the very difficult areas of aging, Rich, like chronic care, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. I mean, I try to go lightly on those because this is a show that should illuminate and inspire folks. But that's a reality. And I do know that good age technology can help engage people, even with dementia, even with issues, and also keep your mind sharper through, you know, brain games and so on, cognitive fitness games, if you're just fine and you want to stay that way. So what are some of those features that we can count on with CU-Link?
Great question, and that's a great come into what I wanted to talk about. We actually have a product called Happy Neuron that we have integrated, and this is a professional-level brain training and brain testing products, and it helps keep this particular area. It helps keep people sharp. Helps them. It's certainly not a cure for it, but it helps them keep their mind active, and they do it through a different series of different types of mental functions. You know, you start off at a low level, you can build it up to a much higher level. You know, one particular piece of happy neuron is the ability to see a map of a city, all right, and they'll highlight key, you know, very well-known key areas, like in New York, you got the Empire State Building, and then you've got, the Rockefeller Center. So they'll actually have a map of Manhattan, and they'll say they will show you a series of items that they'll number 1 to whatever X. So if you do 1 to 2, you say number 1 is the Empire State Building, number 2 is Rockefeller Center. And then what will happen, it'll come up and it will ask you to identify which one was number 1, which one was number 2. And then it'll ask you to and once you go through that, and it doesn't matter if you get it right or get it wrong, it'll keep track of how well you do. And then the number 2 is, okay, show me the locations. So it's a memory, it's a memory intensive type of test. And they have the 5 cognitive pieces of structures in the mind. So they will adapt different of these tests to different segments of your cognitive
cognitive. Right. So, you know, the fascination really never ends, and of what can be done for people. When we come back, we're going to talk about something that's really quite emotional for most people, and that is being connected to groups, particularly religious groups, and how age technology is helping with that. It doesn't seem to be a young person issue, but it is an issue of aging. How to stay connected with your religious groups when you can't go, when you cannot go to the physical building. This is all part of aging technology. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, I want to start with that because I think that's pretty inspirational. And
yeah, we'll talk about the Holocaust survivors.
Go ahead. We're off the air. Just say what you want to say.
You know, I had emailed you some audio clips from our website.
Right.
All right, or some clips from the I don't know if you can use those or not, but these are testimonials from our actual users of C-Link, and from the 6 Point Foundation.
Yes, I'll tell you how we have to use that. We're going to use that on the website. We can't use it on the air, but we can use it on the website. So what we want to do, and that goes on Wednesday.
Okay.
Not this Wednesday, next Wednesday, because you're not on this Sunday, you're on next Sunday. You're right, Stuart.
Right.
Don't look for this Wednesday. It's a week from this Wednesday. The other thing I wanted to say is, I want to talk about the religious piece. I want to talk about the Holocaust survivors, like you, or whatever you're doing with them. This is our last segment. So in addition to that, there are other things. One of the main things I'm going to ask you is what's next? In other words, what's the next steps that you're doing, right?
Okay. Good.
Is there anything else that you want to cover?
We can talk about some of the areas that we're touching on, about how we're integrating with other products. You know, as we see a need for new technologies, next generation technologies. We can talk about how we're actually doing integrations to them, and how we can interconnect with those with these new technologies, and how we're always looking at enhancing and moving C-Link along.
Good. All right, we're ready to go, sir. Yep, we're ready.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, 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 this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And we talk about things that nobody else is talking about. We have guests that you could never access any other way. We have today Rich Brown, and he is the founder of CU-Link. And as he's told us, I've asked him, I'll tell you. If you want to know more about CU-Link, it's pretty easy. You just go to www.CSEEUYOULINK.com. You'll even see an opportunity to go to info@CU-Link.com and ask Rich personal questions. He's about yourself and what you need. And he's made it very clear that the development of this CU-Link has a lot to do with what other people want. And he follows through. Well, one of the buzzwords in our industry of successful aging is engagement technology. Rich likes to call it simple engagement technology. But what are we being engaged with? Most of the focus is on families and the grandparents that could do use CU-Link, or if they're more tech savvy, they may just Skype directly, but it's family. What we have kind of lost, Rich, is the idea that older adults also have groups that they miss, and particularly in the field of religion. And one of the things you've tackled, and not talked about very often, is that missing link in the lives of many older adults when they can no longer go to their congregation, whatever denomination, whatever religion they may be. And how have you solved some of that problem, at least?
Great question, Adrian. Yeah, and there again, I'll revert back to our group in the UK, our group of Holocaust survivors and first-generation immigrants that the Six Point Foundation wound up hiring hiring us to support. We actually have a 5-year program that we've set up for these survivors. And one of the requirements for us to get the contract, was to be able to stream live from a synagogue in Belsize Square in London. So, come to find out, they were a pretty progressive synagogue, and they were already providing that type of a stream, a live stream, and then an archival stream, so people can go back and watch again any of the services that they might have had to miss. So we actually have this stream comes in. People can participate, or they can see the service as it's happening live, the services as they happen live. And if they want to go back and reflect on part of the service, they can go back to the archives and watch it again and again and again as many times as they want. So, we've done that. We've done we've put on a digital theater program for them as well. So, it's all of these things that older adults are still that they might have gone to when they were younger and just can't get out now. We bring that into their homes or wherever they're living. They can still participate. They can still see what's going on. They can stay up to date on theater and what's new in theater. They can stay connected to their religion. In the U.S., I've done some research, and there's a number of congregations in the U.S. that also stream their services live. So it becomes very easy for us to integrate something, a service like this. We do it already. We know how to do it. So instead of taking months for this to happen, a lot of our competitors can't do this as rapidly as we can. Our whole design platform is made to easily bring new services to our users rapidly, and it's all about servicing our users. It's all about providing more when they say, "Look, we really want to have this. We really need this feature." So we really listen, and that's I think that's it's all about communication, like
that's
everything.
The bottom line. I'll tell you, I'm pretty excited about the theater part. Everybody knows that going to shows is my drug of choice. When things are really lousy for me, I'll see 2 to 5 shows in a weekend, easy. But the thought of not being able to get out to theater is not pleasant for me. Let's put it that way. And the idea that a show can be seen, and that would include whether it's the kindergarten show with your grandchild or whether it's a show that you're missing, as long as that can be brought into your home, regardless of how frail you may be, it's a wonderful boost to your life. This is the field of thriving. Rich likes to call it engagement, which is the word, but I also like to call it enrichment. Can you imagine that? And maybe the next steps being sports, who knows what. So before we leave you, we've got about 2 minutes. I'm going to ask you that question, Rich. What is next? I mean, you've talked about a lot of innovations, but where are you going with this next?
Another great question. You know, we constantly look at new technologies that are next generation technologies that, you know, we know that in order to expand our services and make our product more robust, we need to be able to work with these technologies. And these newer technologies are now, interesting enough, we designed our platform on an open software concept. And now what seems to be happening is there are more and more companies that are designing their products the same way. So now it becomes very easy for us to integrate because we already understand the language that they've developed their product into, and it becomes very easy for us to work together cooperatively. One of the products happens to be this group in Norway, which is a company called Zissen, and they are the next generation of a digital call center. Now, the call center is a place where if you have a question, you call in, and they can help you get to where you want to go to get the information you're looking for. And this is becoming more and more of a requirement within our not only our older adult community, but in our communities in general. There's a lot of communities that have very specific requirements of support requirements, medical requirements, just services, and it's confusing to find them on the internet. Now, what we're doing is building these digital communities
Like navigator systems, where you
it's very precise, very precise, very focused on the type of community that you're a part of, and will allow you to get the answers to your questions more rapidly and more effectively.
Unfortunately, as always, Rich, we're at the end of our show. It's unbelievable how fast this goes, but I think that we're aware of what's going on now. And can really not only access the healing, but see how this whole idea of aging is creating innovation. And for the rest of you, particularly you entrepreneurs, get out there, kids, and make it happen. Okay. So you got
great.
A lot out. I mean, I will say the other way, too. If any of these things you want to edit or have Zoran or whatever edit and use on your website or use any way you want to, put to show the scope of the U-Link through this interview, it's yours, just go ahead in any way you want, whether you use social media. All right, so this is good. I'm going to send an email before I leave to Katzman and ask about coming to visit.
That would be great,
back.
Yeah. I mean,
okay.
I'm excited about that one. And what was the other one? I remembered and I forgot it.
That was called Fellowship.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
wait, great. Great.
Ahead.
Yeah.
I
mean, it'd be interesting to
hang up, though, right? Oh, okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
It would be very interesting just to talk to Mary to see what she's doing, you know.
Sure. I am not hanging up. You have to hang up. I'm going to give this back to Stuart because if we hang up, we break our connection. So, but you
okay.
Can.
All right.
Okay?
I'll hang up. All right. All right. Thanks, Adrian. Appreciate it.